Sorry to interrupt your normal science podcast programming, but I've hit the road. I'm on the campaign trail, not for the recently announced Australian federal election, but for the title of Australia's best science blogger. The organisers of Australia's National Science Week have drawn up a shortlist of 10 blogs, and I've made the final, so I'm looking for your vote. To vote, and voting finishes up this Friday, and to check out the other finalists, get over to www.thebigblogtheory.com.au. That's www.thebigblogtheory.com.au. And there are also links off my website. Okay, back to the campaign trail, and I'll let you get back to your normal science podcast programming. Excuse me, sir, have you heard of the Mr. Science Show?
Greetings and welcome to the program. My name is Mark West, and this week we're revisiting one of our regular segments, The Science of Superheroes, with Dr. Boob.
Oh my god, it's a Toxic Avenger!
The topic of today's discussion is the Hulk. The Hulk is the giant, green, moody, monster alter ego of mild-mannered physicist Dr. Bruce Banner. In this show, I chat with Dr. Boob about gene therapy, genetic mutations, the ethics of trying to create such a monster in the lab, how the Hulk could get green skin, the possibility of the rapid, almost instant cell growth that would be needed to create the Hulk's size out of a normal-sized Bruce Banner, the sorts of materials his pants may be made out of, and funnily enough, we also talk a little bit about irritable bowel syndrome. My chat with Dr. Boob started with a discussion about the origins of the Hulk.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation interacts with his unique body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs. The creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative reporter.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
An accidental explosion took the life of a fellow scientist and supposedly David Banner as well. The reporter thinks the creature was responsible.
I gave a description to all the law enforcement agencies. They got a warrant for murder out of it.
A murder which David Banner can never prove he or the creature didn't commit. So he must let the world go on thinking that he too is dead until he can find a way to control the raging spirit that dwells within him.
Actually three different origins that we could talk about, because there's two different movies, one of which has our own Eric Banner in it, and the other one has Edward Norton as the main character, which is Dr. Bruce Banner, or the Hulk. And then you've got the comic book as well, which has a slightly different story on his origins. So Bruce Banner himself is a withdrawn, reserved, shy physicist, scientist type, much like myself.
Yes.
Even my boss calls me Dr. Bruce when he can't remember my name.
It's kind of complimentary.
All Australians, of course, are called Bruce.
Yes.
Anyway, so the Hulk is his emotional, sort of impulsive alter ego. And this transformation is rather involuntary, and Bruce turns into this raging, giant, green humanoid monster whose strength increases with his emotional state, and these emotional triggers are things like anger and fear and terror, grief. And so his main sort of properties there would be that he's green, he's got bulletproof skin and incredibly strong, and a fair bit bigger than Bruce in his normal state.
And so in terms of his origin, then, we've got those three possible origins. What are they, and what are the differences?
Okay, so the comic books, I guess, which came first. Bruce Banner was a physicist in the comics, and he was working for the military on what's called a gamma bomb. So this is a radioactive bomb that would, you know, shower the area with gamma radiation, and he's accidentally exposed to this detonation of this test gamma bomb.
Okay. So
that's how it happened in the comics. In the second movie with Edward Norton, there's much less clear sort of background to how he became what he is, but it was a lot closer to the comics in that it was exposure to gamma radiation and an overdose of that, and that's sort of made him the way that he is. Now, with the Eric Banner Hulk movie, this was... It also relied on gamma radiation, but there's a whole other backstory in there as well involving Bruce's father, David Banner. So David Banner was a genetics researcher for the military before Bruce was born. And this is all taking place in the opening credits. And you see that he's experimenting with things like jellyfish and starfish and getting their DNA. And the whole project he's working on is to improve human DNA for the military and for soldiers. Now, he's experiments with jellyfish. He gets bioluminescence from, and this is where you get the green, if you follow.
Yes, okay, so that's actually a scientific explanation of his green skin, bioluminescence.
Sort of, yes.
Oh, okay.
The green fluorescent protein, which actually does come from jellyfish, is in fact not visible in normal light as green. It's only when it's excited by UV light that it actually turns green.
Oh, okay, but maybe we could tweak this.
Anyway, we could work with that.
We'll get with it. We'll get to that point, yes. So,
but also, he's working with starfish. Now, starfish are closely related to the sea cucumber. Now, you might recall our conversations about sea cucumbers and their healing ability.
I do. Sea cucumber was vital for Wolverine.
Exactly. So this is sort of where the, you know, healing super soldiers idea comes in. That's why he's working with starfish.
Right, yes.
So he then takes the DNA from starfish and whatnot and tries to put them into lizards and monkeys. And it doesn't really work and they all die.
Huh.
And so, you know, in true wacky scientist form, once you've tried it with lizards and monkeys and it doesn't work, you start experimenting on yourself.
That's the natural progression.
It is.
I remember The Fly, yes.
Somewhat unrealistic.
Yes.
But great for the movies. So he ends up, in the opening credits, injecting himself with a tube of liquid, which we can only assume has some sort of DNA and some way to transfer that to himself.
Right.
Lo and behold, it doesn't work, but at least he's not dead.
Ah.
Unfortunately, he finds out that this mutant DNA has been transferred to his son.
Okay.
Presumably, his son was only fertilized after this experiment had taken place.
Yes.
Anyway, other things happen, yada, yada, yada. Bruce is adopted, his father's presumed dead, mum is killed in an explosion. So, moving on to Eric as a grown-up Bruce Banner. He's working in a military research program himself, coincidentally, but working on, again, regenerating soldiers. But he's using nanomeds to do this. But he activates these nanomeds using gamma radiation. There's an accident, and the gamma radiation, Bruce is exposed to a massive dose of it, which activates the nanomeds and also his mutant DNA. It all combines, and then he turns into the Hulk.
Okay, so there's like a three-way combination going on here. Exactly. We've got gamma rays, we've got nanomeds, and we've got the original mutant DNA that he possesses. What's a nanomed, for those that haven't heard of that?
Nanomed, well... Conveniently, in the movie side of things, it's not really explained much.
Ah, yes.
It's basically nanotechnology that can be used for medicine. I don't quite know what was going on in terms of the movie, but in terms of what's currently available, things like targeted drug delivery, where you can conjugate a drug to a specific delivery vector and get it to a specific cell type or something like that, that would be considered to be nanomed.
Okay.
But from what I gather in the movies, it has been a while since I've seen it. It was more in terms of little... I guess you could think of them as little robots that would cruise around fixing things that were broken.
Okay. And this burst of gamma radiation, I mean, gamma radiation causes mutations. It can pierce the skin much more than alpha and beta,
yes,
radiation. So I guess it's not beyond the realms of possibility that it could activate something dormant in the body?
Well, gamma radiation can have some effects, all right. It is ionizing radiation. So, yeah, it will mutate DNA is the essential thing. It can cause double-stranded breaks in DNA, and if these aren't repaired accurately and efficiently, then you can have all sorts of health effects, like, well, the main one there would be cancer. So what happens when you do get radiation poisoning from gamma radiation? If you get a single sort of large dose, then the main symptoms, if it's, you know, only a mild to moderate dosage, would be nausea and vomiting. But then the larger the dose, the more serious the symptoms are, and also the quicker the symptoms appear. So with a mild dose, it could be 24 or 48 hours after you get hit with this radiation, you start getting a bit of vomiting. But then as the dose increases, you might get headache, fatigue and weakness as well. Up the dose again, you might get some fever, hair loss, infections, bloody stools, vomit, poor wound healing. So it's affecting your immune system a lot as well. And your severe exposures would then, you'd get some diarrhea perhaps and a really bad fever, as well as everything else. And obviously the very, very severe exposures, we're talking about 5 to 8 grays of radiation there, you'll get symptoms within about 30 minutes, and you could even dizziness, disorientation, low blood pressure, and with the higher exposures, it will be fatal.
Okay, and then with the even higher exposures, that's when the superhero abilities come in, I guess.
I guess that's right. If we're talking 5 to 8 grays as being very severe exposure, then perhaps 8.5 to 9 could be all it would take.
All right, so some of his superpowers, he gets very strong, he turns green, he gets very big.
Yep.
Is there any way that we could scientifically explain this?
Well, we can explain the green thing fairly easily, I would suggest.
The bioluminescence?
Bioluminescence, that would be an option. I guess the thing with him is that it's mood-related, so he's a giant mood ring.
Yeah, I was just thinking this. Does he work like a mood ring?
I think so. But if you recall, again, we've talked about skin colour and colour change with chameleons and Mystique.
That's right, and that was all about her mood, wasn't it? Or at least her wanted.
Desire, her conscious thought in terms of colour change. So
that's right.
I think the mood could be a bit easier. Super strong, I think. Again, a bit like Wolverine, we'll just pump him full of steroids.
That's right, yes.
That might help with the moodiness and the anger.
Yes, that would increase that. For sure. So we've really got this rapid growth. Is that a problem?
That's a big problem. When I look at it, I just don't see that there's any way that you could double your body size, presumably with all the structural components like bone as well, just purely because your mood changed.
And it's all in proportion. It changes
a massive amount of cell division, protein synthesis and everything else, and it's just not going to happen.
That's right, and it's all in proportion, so it needs to all happen at the same time. And then, I guess, when he calms down, he shrinks.
It needs to be a very rapid, controlled apoptosis. And it's hard to see where someone like Bruce Banner, who's a relatively athletic figure, would store all the energy and, you know, supplies that his cells would need to undergo this rapid transformation. If he had large fat deposits or something like that, then that would be something.
So in the lab or in your lab, how quickly can you make cells divide? What sort of scale can we do now, and what sort of scale would we need, assuming it's perfectly controlled? What would we need to do for the Hulk?
Well, if in terms of growing, say, cells in a petri dish in the lab, your doubling time generally averages to about 24 hours. So you get twice the number of cells in 24 hours.
Okay.
There are some particular types of cells that will go a bit quicker than that. But we're talking 16 hours I guess, rather than...
Rather than 30 seconds.
Here is, say, 30 seconds.
So that's unlikely. So is there any possible way, you know, even our most outlandish superhero characteristics so far, we've found some sort of way. Is there any way we could do this?
Any way we could just rapidly bulk him up inside?
Mm.
Look, I've been racking my head over the weekend about this, and I don't know that we can.
The other great thing about the Hulk is when he does go through this rapid expansion, his pants always seem to fit.
One size fits all.
Mm. So what about synthetic materials to make his pants?
From being a cyclist for a number of years, I'm well aware of the stretching abilities of Lycra and elastic. I'm not concerned about the trouser situation at all. I think there's ample opportunity for that technology to be in existence already.
Okay, so that's a big tick there. So should we be able
purple
to...
Purple pants, done.
It's purple pants, done. Green skin, done. So we're getting the colours pretty well done.
Yeah.
What are some of Hulk's other abilities?
The main one there would be the bulletproof skin.
Aha.
I had a look at bulletproof vests and ballistic vests to see what sort of properties they had and whether or not that would be able to be incorporated into skin.
Hmm.
So basically what they use is a lot of layers of a very strong fibre, often spider web, to sort of catch and deform a bullet and spread the impact over a larger area.
Mm-hmm.
And mushrooming the bullet itself into a sort of a dish shape and spreading the force.
Yes.
So you still get a lot of blunt force sort of trauma with a bullet through the ballistic vest, but it's spread out, and so it doesn't penetrate.
So we've got materials that might be able to do this, but whether that can be actually part of his skin is another
whether
question.
You could put that into the skin, yeah, I think that would be a concern. I guess the other aspect of it is that the Hulk skin would be quite resistant to knives and so on, whereas bulletproof vests aren't.
No, that's right,
they're
yeah.
For the bullet, which is a bit flatter in the head rather than a sharp knife which would slice through the fibres. But then I was looking at some of the animals which are considered to have the tougher skin. There's a few different opinions on the subject. Elephant hide is quite tough. Shark skin as well.
Mm.
And then some of the more, I guess, shell-like skins would be, you know, crocodile back or even armadillos or something like that.
Yes, maybe we need to start thinking of shells or like tortoise shell or something. Yeah. Wouldn't be very flexible though.
Exactly. Movement and flexibility would be the key with that. I think we could toughen the skin, but I'm not sure that we can make it bulletproof.
It definitely needs to be a clothes solution as opposed to like a DNA solution.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think if we can, you know, if we get instead of a vest, we get a whole bulletproof onesie.
Yes.
We could paint that green.
Yes, that would work.
And all of a sudden, we've got two of our characteristics right there.
It could be a bulletproof Snuggie.
A bulletproof Snuggie. Now you're talking.
Now we're talking. That's right.
Green Snuggie, resistant to bullets.
That's perfect. That's every geek who stays up late watching Danos Direct. That's their dream. To be the Hulk in a green Snuggie.
What I like about Mr. Science is that you bring a lot of your personal life to the podcast.
Yes, well, it's true. I own a Snuggie, I have to admit. No, it's red. Well, I haven't tried firing anything at it yet.
Superhero, I'll keep on fighting. There's no way I'm laying down and dying. I'm Wonder Woman, I'm here to stay. If you can't help me,
is it possible, A, for something to change your DNA in the first place, and then B, for that changed DNA to then be passed on to your offspring?
Yes. The short answer, I guess, is yes. Certainly in terms of changing your own DNA. I mean, that happens all the time on a daily basis. So you go outside, you spend a bit of time in the sun, and you're exposed to gamma radiation from stars and from the universe. And so that is going to be affecting your DNA, and occasionally it will result in a mutation. But that's in your skin, more often than not. That's not too much of a concern unless, you know, you get, you know, the wrong mutation in the wrong area and you might develop a melanoma. But in terms of transferring that to offspring, that's not generally going to happen, because what you've got is one skin cell, perhaps a couple of skin cells with a mutation. If the mutation was in your reproductives, that's, you know, in your gametes, that's when you're thinking about passing it on to your offspring.
And so it would be the actual sperm that are ready to go that would need to be...
They would have to be carrying a mutation.
Okay.
Carrying that mutant DNA. And so what we're talking about in the movie situation, where we have Bruce's father injecting himself, presumably that would be essentially some sort of gene therapy where he has the mutant DNA and it is in a vector where it can be incorporated into his own. Now, there's all sorts of options in terms of what you can use to integrate new DNA into a cell. We use it in the lab all the time. We don't use it on humans.
I was going to say, have you ever failed in an experiment on a monkey or a lizard and thought, hey, I might give this a go on myself?
I certainly haven't. I'm not going to be doing any experiments on monkeys, hopefully. It's not something I want to do. But in terms of, say, cells in dishes, I've certainly introduced new DNA to these cells, and it's very routine now. We have... The method we use most of the time is called a chemical vector, where you combine the DNA with this chemical vector and it lyses or integrates with the cell membrane and pushes the DNA inside to the cell.
Mm-hmm.
This DNA then, you know, gets into the nucleus where it's doing its job.
Okay.
Other options would be, say, a viral vector, where you take a virus, you remove the DNA that's inside it, and you replace that DNA with your mutant DNA, and the virus, which is doing its normal job, which is getting into a cell, pushing in its DNA. So, you know, presumably the virus could replicate itself, but in this case, it can't replicate itself because you've put your own mutant DNA in there.
Right, yes.
So the mutant DNA gets in there and integrates with the DNA of the host cell, and there you go. So I would assume that that's what Bruce's father has done. He's got his DNA and stuck it inside a viral vector, injected it, and so you can imagine injecting yourself with a virus. The virus straight into the bloodstream, cruises around the body, and then picks cells at random. And
so intentionally or not, it got to his gametes and he then spread.
So it got into his reproductives, and that's how it might be passed on to the son. So that's why we don't tend to do that sort of thing on ourselves.
Okay, yes.
Those of us with ethical intentions.
Really, the Hulk is seemingly, through a combination of gene therapy and synthetic materials, quite possible, even to the extent that his father injected himself with the gene therapy. But we're still stuck on the whole rapid growth. Really, that's where our Hulk falls down, isn't it?
Yeah, we're stuck on the doubling in size, at least. And the transformation side of things, I mean, we can change his colour, fine, but we can't sort of change him from being your average, nondescript person walking down the street into this super strong green... The green thing we can do, super strong, enormous monster.
Mm. I guess there's also some fundamental physics here, you know, you've got the conservation of mass. You can't just create mass out of nothing. Unless we're really doing some funky relativity, and I don't think we're doing that, you know, E equals MC squared stuff. So I guess we could accelerate him close to the speed of light and he would pick up an awful lot of mass. There's one way of doing it.
Okay. Can we throw him into the large Hadron Collider.
We could throw him into the Large Hadron Collider and accelerate him. And
just when he's in a bad mood.
Yeah.
That might put him in a bad mood.
That'd put him in a terrible mood. Well, this would increase his mass. It wouldn't increase his size. He'd just become heavier. And he'd also, you know, he's not much of a crime fighter if he can only exist in this really heavy state inside the Large Hadron Collider.
He'd be a bit sluggish, really, couldn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So unless Dr. Evil happens to also be inside the Large Hadron Collider, it's not really going to be very useful to anybody.
It's fairly localized superhero ability.
We're almost going to give him like a 0%, a 0 out of 10 chance. But let's forget the rapid growth. What would we give him?
Yeah, for the complete picture of the Hulk, you're not looking at a possibility.
It seems almost like it's 100% on the rest of it. I mean, even to the extent that having emotions or consciously determine changes in skin colour and all the rest of it, like we had with Mystique, we thought that was possibly a reality. So even some of that is possible.
Now, there's one other thing that we could possibly bring into our Hulk character, and that if somehow we're able to concoct a potion that would transform a Dr. Jekyll into a Mr. Hyde...
Yes.
...then I think that potion might work all right for our Brucey.
Oh, okay. So, because we haven't talked about this. Yeah, the Hulk is a different personality, isn't he? He's not the same guy.
It's sort of described by Bruce himself as a dreamlike state. So he's not fully in control or aware of what's going on.
Okay, so it's like hypnosis, perhaps?
Possibly, yeah. Or schizophrenia at the very least.
Yeah. And I don't know a great deal about artificially induced schizophrenia, but you hear of drug addicts and that sort of thing having quite bad after effects, or even just drug addicts or drunks being in an altered state. You can well imagine that there might be some concoction of chemicals that could do this to you. It sounds a lot like a drunk, really. Not a happy drunk, but a sad drunk.
An alcoholic.
He gets all punchy when he's the Hulk.
It does get irritable.
Yeah.
I wonder if he actually suffers from irritable bowel syndrome.
I don't know. I wouldn't ask him if I were you, but yeah.
Possibly. A bit sensitive, that question.
Yeah, well, we could look up. I don't know that, alcohol poisoning causes irritable bowel syndrome, but perhaps it does.
What I was thinking, actually, is stress is a major contributor to irritable bowel, so...
Okay.
It seems to me that our Hulk could be under a rather stressful situation. I mean, he's trying to juggle a career as a physicist.
Mm.
Moonlighting is a big green monster.
Yeah, he's got his own personal demons that drive him when he is this monster.
Look, it can't be easy.
It can't be easy at all. Actually, something else I just remembered. I remember in the Eric Banner film, at least, he used to pretty much jump. He jumps over mountains.
Yes. There's a lot of leaping involved.
I mean, there are lizards and I think lice and that sort of, not lizards, lice, ants.
Fleas.
Fleas, that's it. Yeah, fleas that can jump very high.
Jumping insects. I think I heard from a friend of mine that in one of the comic books he jumps to the moon.
Ah.
Mars or something ridiculous like that. Which would take some jumping.
That'd take a lot of jumping.
Just ignore the whole atmospheric question there.
Yeah, and just, yeah, what he breathes, and re-entry would be a bit of a bugger.
Could be.
I'll
tell you, at that sort of distance, if you got your aim wrong...
Yeah, that's right.
All sorts of trouble.
Well, that's why Bruce Banner's a physicist, see?
It's money for jam for him.
Yeah, he can just... It's easy. Just slingshot around Mercury on the way. You know, he knows what he's doing.
Sightseeing tour.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess he doesn't need oxygen, I presume. No, he's fueled by anger or something. I quite like that ethics discussion. That was good. And also the irritable bowel discussion, which is, offbeat.
Yeah. So you might, might need to get some toilet facilities put into the Large Hadron Collider.
That's right. Or his vinyl...
His purple pants.
Yeah, his purple pants. Well, they'll have to have an inbuilt nappy.
A bog catcher.
A bog catcher that changes shape. Can you imagine then the size of his feces then? You know, the diarrhea that's passed because of his irritable bowel syndrome. Quite a lot, I imagine. It depends, I guess, on whether his intestines and bowel also grow when he gets massive.
I imagine everything would go in proportion. I guess when you think about the downsizing,
that'd
coming
be...
back down from the green, then that would be when you get your main... If we're talking about a large individual coming down to... downsizing by about half his size, and you're going through a rapid amount of apoptosis, cell death, and so on, you'd be generating a lot of, how can I put this, waste.
That's true. There'd be a lot of waste product, wouldn't there?
And so as he's downsizing, that's when your expulsion would happen.
You're right. So this actually fits quite in line with our irritable bowel syndrome, really. Although it's Bruce Banner that would have the irritable bowel syndrome because... all of a sudden,
yes.
He's carrying...
The Hulk would probably be...
That's really interesting. And yeah, so I guess when he's small, he needs to pass this.
I'm not sure it is that interesting.
No, I think it is. I mean, just some of the practical problems of rapid growth and then rapid shrinkage. I think...
We've already discounted the possibility of rapid growth.
Well, we've discounted the possibility of rapid growth, but not rapid shrinkage. So it's we need to cover all our bases.
And in terms of conservation of matter...
That's right.
That's the key. It's got to go somewhere.
It's got to go somewhere.
Well, I suppose diarrhea is also a symptom of radiation poisoning.
Oh, it is too, isn't it?
It all works. It all fits in.
It really is all fitting in.
They didn't think of this at Marvel Comics, did they?
Well, maybe they did. I don't know.
That's even more spooky.
Yeah. They created a superhero with irritable bowel and it fits. That's great. It'd be another weapon, wouldn't it? Not the it wouldn't be a wouldn't be a PG comic though, would it?
It'd probably be a one time only weapon though.
Yes, on shrinkage, it'd be like a final weapon.
Coup de grace. You know, it's a
that's right.
Signature delivery.
That's right. Yeah, but it's not the sort of.
You know, you can imagine the police scratching their heads over a particular crime scene. Oh, now I know. Now I know who's responsible for this. He's left his mark.
That's right. His calling card. Yeah, it's not the sort of comic you'd find in your everyday newsagent. It's probably the sort of comic you'd find in some of the more niche comic stores in somewhere like Amsterdam, perhaps.
I'd say it might be a subscription only.
Then gets shut down.
Underground.
Yeah, very underground. Not the sort of comic I want. That's all the time we have in this week's edition of the Mr. Science Show, the podcast where science meets pop culture. And once again, I'm sending a big helping of gratitude over to Dr. Boob, aka Dr. Christopher Pettigrew. If you've got any comments, queries, or questions about today's show, or any other show that we've done in the past, get over to the website at www.mrscienceshow.com. That's www.mrscienceshow.com. We'd be quite interested if you too think that the Hulk suffered from irritable bowel syndrome. Thanks very much for joining us. My name is Mark West, and I'll see you next time on the podcast where science meets pop culture.